my lessons last week talked about the Holy Spirit and how in times past the Holy Spirit came upon men. But in this time that we're in this church age, since that day at Pentecost when that which our Savior said, "Go and wait, and I will send the promise." And he sent his Holy Spirit that we might be filled, that we might be a dwelling of his Spirit, and that the tabernacle was done away with. The temple was done away with, and there was new temples, living temples. And we need to come to that realization that the living God has sent his Holy Spirit and indwells us. And he wants to lead us and guide us. Well, we have an enemy. We have an enemy that wants to do lots of things, wants to confuse us, wants us really to look at the Holy Spirit just simply as a nice doctrine, all part of that Trinity, you know, which we don't understand. But yeah, we see it in Scripture. God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the enemy from the very beginning has been in opposition to that. And I want to talk just a minute, if you would go to Ephesians first, Ephesians 6. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. See, all we have to do is go back to Genesis 3, where we see the fall of man. And the scripture tells us there was a crafty being there. There was a crafty serpent. And he approached the woman and he said, "Hey, I have a question for you. God said, don't eat any of the fruit in this garden, didn't he?" And the woman, "No. No, God didn't say that. God said we could eat any of the fruit. We just can't eat the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden. That's the one we can't eat of. Because God said if we eat of that, we'll die." Ah, an opening. An opening for the enemy. He says, "Oh, surely God didn't mean you would die. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you something. If you eat of it, you will be like God. You'll know good and evil." And so if we begin to kind of dissect, we understand that Satan uses all kinds of deception. And one thing I want to tell you about deception is if you are being decepted, by definition, you don't know you're being decepted. "I didn't know I was being decepted." God, Satan uses lies. He's the father of lies. He uses accusations against you. Imagine that. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You couldn't possibly take a look in the mirror who you are. You can't hear the voice of God. Look at you. And he begins to sow these seeds in us. He shows that we come to doubt. Did God really say that? He would fill me with his Holy Spirit? Did he really? Of course, we know that Judah, well, you know, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, but me? Be filled. Don't you know that you are the temple? Well, no, you're not. I'm going to tell you things about you that will make sure you don't think that you can hear God's voice or that you're filled with his Spirit. And the enemy is off and running. Well, you know, Jesus said, "When it's better that I go away. It's better for you that I go away because I can send you the promise of the Father. And I'm going to make sure that you have protection." And so, if we go to Ephesians 6:11, we're told, "Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the enemy." Now, apart from the picture that we're given, this little guy, I'm sure all of you who have ever gone through Sunday school as a child, I didn't, you can tell that. We have this picture of this soldier. But I want to kind of take that picture out, and I want to talk about the things that are there that the apostle wants you to focus on. He says, I want you to look at truth. If you're going to equip yourself, you're going to have to think about truth. What is truth? The things that God said about you. The things that have been accomplished for you. He talks about righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're righteous. Oh, the enemy would love to come in on that one. Yeah, you call yourself righteous. God sees you as righteous if you're in him. And so there's truth and there's righteousness that we need to grab a hold of when the enemy comes against us with deceit, doubt, lies. Paul talks about the gospel. What's the gospel? The gospel's yours. It's been preached to you. Grab a hold of it. He's given you faith. The righteous will live by faith. Faith in the Son of God. Faith in what he's done. The enemy is going to come against you. And you say, no, I have a shield. I am not going to believe what you say to me. That armor talks about your salvation. And Paul says, it's a helmet on top of you. Grab a hold of it. When the enemy says, you're not filled with the Spirit. Oh, yes, I am. I've been given that helmet of salvation. And then Paul says, and don't forget the word. It's a sword in which you fight against the enemy with. It says, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you for a purpose, because you have an enemy who wants to distort your walk in the Spirit. You know, it's interesting, when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, Scripture says, and the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, I'm not going to go into that particular scenario, but how did Jesus fight back with the things that the enemy brought against him? He said, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. And that's why it's so important for us as believers filled with the Spirit to know the word and to use it. Hath not God said, you can't eat? We can eat from the tree of life. Well, you know, while the enemy is there, there are other things that prevent us or distract us from being Spirit-filled walkers in that life. And if I could have the next slide, I'm going to talk about these four other things: the law, a different gospel, the flesh, and the mind. And these are four things that Paul, in his various letters, references that interfere with us walking in the Spirit. And let's look at the first one, the law. And go to Galatians 3:10. For as many are the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. We are people who love to justify ourselves. And we do that by coming back to the law. Well, I didn't steal. Well, I didn't. And we have a sense that when we grab a hold of the law, we are walking by the Spirit. Galatians 3 tells us contrary to that. This is the only thing I want you to know. Oh, to find out. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, Galatians? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he then, who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? We have to understand that on the day of Pentecost, which was for the Jews a celebration of the giving of the law, and God on that same day, on that same time of celebration of Pentecost, said, I'm giving you a new law. It is the law of the Spirit. And I'm putting away the law that leads to death. Ephesians 2:15 says that Jesus Christ abolished the law of commandments. Well,
Hey, hey, hey. No law? I'm ready to rock.
Wait a minute. No. You don't understand this. He says in 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me. I can eat shrimp. I can even eat lobster, which were prohibited in the law. But not all things are profitable. I have to listen to the Spirit. Romans 8:2 kind of ends that thought. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Why do you want to come back under the law? Because the enemy would remind you, oh, you're not keeping the law. Well, we heard that this morning in Sunday school. Not allowed to call it Sunday school, but whatever it was. The law will only bring you death. If we hearken to the Spirit, it's the Spirit of life. And so I'm telling you, you are filled with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Listen for the Spirit. Let the Spirit guide you and lead you into all truth. The second admonition that has a tendency to lead you away from a Spirit-filled life is something that Paul calls a different gospel. Galatians 1:6, if you would go to that. Paul says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of God for a different gospel.
Well, I don't have a different gospel.
Well, other than the gospel of Facebook. Now you read Facebook and there you got the gospel. You know what's on Facebook is, it's all true. Well, how about Twitter? Instagram. I got to be on Instagram. And all of a sudden, you are caught into a different gospel. I had a friend came by the other night, and we had a long discussion about AI. He came in. He's playing this song on his phone. He said, hey, I wrote that. I said, well, it's pretty good. Sounded good. Yeah. Well, I gave it the first three words. And AI finished out the rest of the song. I said, oh, okay, I'm glad you wrote it. Yeah. What about the music? Oh, well, I told AI I wanted a little bit of country and a little bit of bluegrass and a little bit of rap to it. He said, listen to it. Yeah, I wrote it. I said, you know, I'm really terrified of AI. Because AI is going to be a different gospel. And are you so quickly going to be drawn away from it? Well, this is true. Yeah. One thing on a different gospel, those Romans, they were thinkers. Romans 6:15, and I don't have that up there. Paul was talking to them about following a different gospel and talking about the grace of God who has been poured out on us, that we didn't deserve it, but that we've been filled with the Spirit. And those Romans said, oh, hey, wait a minute, I like this idea. I think if I sin all the more, grace will abound all the more. Isn't that the way it's supposed to work? I sin and I get more grace. Paul, Romans, who's bewitched you? Now, he doesn't say that, but you get the idea. See, that's all part of our, I don't like all the things about this particular gospel. I like this and this and this. I can tolerate this, but nope, no part of that. God says, you're walking away from the Spirit. I've given you the Spirit to lead you. Don't throw yourself in there. 2 Corinthians 11:4. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom you have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted. And he says, you bear this beautifully. Meaning, why do you put up with it? Why do you accept it? It's a different gospel. Stand against it. And there are lots of false prophets out there who are preaching a different gospel. There are lots of different organizations that preach a different gospel. Galatians reminds us, it was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. We have been set free. We have been set free to listen to the Spirit, to be guided by the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit. If you live by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God has made you alive, then walk by the Spirit. Next, we'll have to deal with the flesh. Oh, don't we love the flesh? We love the flesh. As John was saying this morning in our downstairs back room teaching, this culture that we live in, this Western culture, just thrives on teaching you to love the flesh. First thing it teaches you is that I have rights. Don't interfere with my rights. I have constitutional rights. I have rights to do what I want to do. I have rights. And that's just the flesh saying, I want what I want when I want it. You may quote me on that. I want what I want when I want it. Oh, the flesh. Well, let's just look at a scripture that'll support this, and then I have some other fine things to tell you about that. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For they are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You ever been there? You having a party? You invite me, myself, and I?
nobody knows or understands me. I'm the only one who has to do this.
And we enter into this little fleshly party of yourself.
Nobody likes me. I can't be like everybody else. I don't make enough money.
And we create this self-loving, flesh-loving scenario for ourselves. And it is so void of the Spirit, because they are in opposition to one another.
You don't understand. I'm so depressed. I'm just so depressed. I have anxiety. Would you like to meet him? I have lots of friends. Anxiety.
I got anger. Yeah. Don't you talk to me that way. Don't you look at me that way. Don't you get in my way, or I'll get mad at you. And then you'll see. Well, I'm afraid that's not the Spirit. And it's in opposition. Romans 8:13 says, "For if you are living according to the flesh, you're going to die." Just that simple. "But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you'll live." Now, which do you want to choose? You know, God, when Israel came into the promised land, he took them out to a place where there were two mountains. And on one side, half of the tribes had to go up onto the mountain. And what they did is if they didn't keep the law, they shouted out all the curses that would come upon themselves. And on the other mountain, they came up and they shouted out all the promises of God and all the blessings that would come upon them if they kept the law. And then God said, "Which one do you want to choose? Choose one." And so when you find yourself in that situation, God's saying, don't you want to choose? What are you choosing? Well, I'm choosing the flesh, God, because it feels good.
Well, what did I say about that?
You said I would die, but surely I won't die.
Oh, yeah, you will. But if you live by the Spirit, you're putting to death the deeds of the flesh. And the last interferer that we have in keeping you from walking by the Spirit is the old thinker here. What's your thinker set on? I'm thinking that we only have another 10 minutes. Well, you know, I'm not stepping on anybody's toes, but if your mind is set on the things of our culture, you're set in the wrong spot. If your mind is set on your political position rather than your position in Christ, your mind is already polluted. If you are set on doom scrolling, how easy it is.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm.
I'll read Romans 5 or 8, 5 to 8 for you, just so you kind of get the sense of it. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is, oh, there's that word again, death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Where's your mindset? We're told to set our minds on things above, not on things upon this earth. And how quickly things on this earth flood our mind. And it leads to anxiety. It leads to heartache. It leads to, well, you know what the word is, the D word. Death. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? Renewing your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. See, that's the charge to us. Don't set your mind on the things of earth, but transform your mind so you think differently. You think. The Holy Spirit is not just a doctrine. The Holy Spirit is not just a belief. It's a person who's in me, who wants to lead me and guide me, who cares for me, who wants to teach me, who wants to show me things. We're going to talk about that next week, because that's one of his functions. I'm going to close with, this is in the Bible, I'm telling you it is. Let's go to Isaiah 30. And I found it was really most interesting, and then I'll come back and take it a little bit apart. Although the Lord has given you bread of privation and water of oppression. Now, wait a minute. He's given you bread of privation. Sometimes privation means a lack. Sometimes you think you're lacking things. And he's giving you the water of oppression. Sometimes you think things are coming against you. Everything is going crazy. But then he goes on, he says, your teacher will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or to the left. See, that's the promise of the Holy Spirit coming to you. It's no longer hidden. It was a mystery. But he says, Now your teacher will not hide from you. He will be with you, and he will lead you, and he will teach you, and he'll give you a word. It's like Beth. Those of you who read that on the church planner, Beth said, I was at my wit's end. I made a big mistake, and I didn't know what to do. So I went outside and I sat down. And then I heard a word. Now, she didn't say that, but she heard a word. This is what you need to do. This is the way you need to walk in it. And she got back up and she went in. And she said, I know what to do. I know how to fix this problem. And Judah said to her, that was a word of wisdom that God gave you.
and others, 11 others, said, "What an encouragement. What an encouragement. That helped fill me with the Spirit." Because we're to encourage one another, and that is Spirit filling. Well, I want to finish this because we've got to get some graven images out of the way. And it says, "And you will defile your graven image overlaid with silver, and your molten images plated with gold. You will scatter them as an impure thing and say to them, 'Be gone.'" And God's saying, there are things that want to interfere with my Spirit. There are things that you hold dear and high. They are your idols. They are your flesh. They are your mind. They are your idea of law. And I'm telling you, throw them away. Destroy them. And say, "Be gone." If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. And God says, "I have given you my Spirit. I have filled you. Don't walk out of this place thinking anything other than that. Because this is the time when you will go out there, out into this dark world, and you will be filled with light. And people are going to say, 'What's different about you?' And you're going to say, 'I've been filled with His Spirit. And I'm walking in it.'" The enemy, the law, a different gospel, flesh, the mind, all want to inhibit your walk in the Spirit. And my job today has been to point some of these things out, to say, you don't have to be guided by these things. The cross has taken care of them. And on that day, that great day of Pentecost, God sent His Spirit to fill you and to bring life and not death to you. Let us yield. Oh, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I yield, I yield, I yield. Holy Spirit, I yield, I yield, I yield. Amen. Amen.